We want to turn in our Bibles to Book of Romans and the chapter 1. Book of Romans and the chapter 1. Our text is found in the verse 16, well-known text to us tonight. The words of the Apostle Paul, writing here to the believers that were in the city of Rome. And he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We want to speak on that tonight. And we pray the Lord to bless his word to our hearts. Let's just look to the Lord and pray for his help. Oh God, our Father, we turn to thee tonight with all our hearts. We call upon thee for thy spirit to be given to us, Lord, and to enable us tonight to speak thy truth with power, with clarity. Not even the youngest person, Lord, in this meeting will understand what we say tonight about the importance of the gospel of Christ. We pray you'll write thy truth upon hearts, especially those, Lord, who know not the Lord Jesus as their Savior. That, Lord, I will show them tonight they must come to Christ. They must repent from their sin and believe in him. And as we've been singing that great hymn, "He that believeth hath everlasting life." So set us down in thy presence and bless us abundantly, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When you and I read God's word and look at the life of the Apostle Paul, we find that the gospel played a very important part in his life. Indeed, I would say tonight that it was his life after his conversion. We find he was a man who preached the gospel with great power and with great boldness, despite all the opposition that was against him. He had a message from God to proclaim. He had a message of hope to preach to the people. And so he was a man who preached the gospel. You'll find that in his writings. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16, he says, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." He realized he had been given this great ministry from the God of heaven. It was now the Apostle Paul's responsibility to go out with this message and to proclaim it and to preach it to men and women who were in darkness and who were in the sin. And we find here that he was a man. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you're glad you belong to a church where the gospel is preached. Wouldn't it be a terrible thing to go to a church that didn't preach the gospel? But there are churches throughout our province. You'll not hear the gospel preached. So pray for the Free Presbyterian Church. Pray for the evangelists. Pray for the missionaries. Pray for the ministers. That they'll always preach the gospel. Because we need to preach the gospel in this day and age. And so he preached the gospel. He protected the gospel in his life. Because he said in the church of Philippi, in Philippians 1 verse 17, "But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." It was just not enough for this man to preach the gospel, but he defended it. There were false teachers who rose up and who spoke against this tremendous message from God, who denied it, who blasphemed it, who mocked it, who changed the message. But the Apostle Paul was such a man that he says, "Well, I am set for the defense of the gospel. I will defend it. If nobody else does, I will defend the gospel." Child of God, this is what we must do. We must defend the gospel. It's been watered down. It's been changed. We are to defend this message that God has entrusted into our hearts, into our hands. Apostle Paul says, I am set for the defense of the gospel. Well, if there's nobody else will stand for the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'll stand for it. I hope that's in your heart tonight. Everyone in this meeting, You're set for the defense of the gospel. Remember, the Apostle Paul wrote those words, of course, moved by God, Galatians 1, verse 8. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let it be accursed. These are serious and solemn words coming from the pen, from the lips of the Apostle Paul. If anybody else, doesn't matter, if it's an angel from God, and they preach any other gospel, he says, let them go to hell. That's solemn. We can't change this message. Doesn't matter who comes against it. Will it be an angel from heaven? He says, I'd protect the gospel. And you know, he was very proud of the gospel message. You know, he loved it. He says in our text, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Now, no doubt in Paul's day there were people who would have been ashamed. But not the Apostle Paul. He wrote in 2 Timothy 1 verse 8 to young Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. There are many things he would have been ashamed of. He would have been ashamed of his life before his conversion. He was a rebellious and a sinful man. He was one who persecuted the people of God. He was one who hated Jesus Christ with a vengeance. He would have been ashamed of that. He would have been ashamed of his sin. I tell you, child of God, look back tonight in your life. There are things I'm ashamed of. There's not one of us tonight would like our sins all written up on this wall behind that you could see my sin of the past. Every saint has a past. He would have been ashamed of his sin. Remember, he says, right in the Church of Rome in chapter 6 here and verse 21, what fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? He was writing to this people. He said, there were things in your life, there were sins that you committed. You're now ashamed of them. Apostle Paul would have been ashamed of his sin. He once hated Christ, hated his people, hated the gospel. He would have been ashamed of himself, the way he lived his life. But he was not ashamed of the gospel. And this is what he's saying here in our text tonight. I am not ashamed of the gospel, ashamed of my sin, ashamed of my past, ashamed of my rebellion, ashamed of my wickedness, ashamed of my sin, yes. But I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And I want to speak tonight why Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. He was not ashamed, first of all, because of its theme. You see, the theme of the gospel is this. It's the gospel of Christ. And this was the message that he proclaimed. The gospel he preached, it was not about men. It was not about the prophets. It was not about angels. It was not about opinions. But the gospel that he preached, it was all about Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how could the Apostle Paul, how could he be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ? The gospel speaks of one who's very, very special. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Listen, of Christ. Of Christ. And so he was not ashamed because of the theme. The gospel is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. It talks about his deity here, even in this passage, and in God's word. If you see there in verse 1, notice Paul, the servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated. Notice what he says here. Onto the gospel, notice, of God. Here we find down in verse 16, he says it's the gospel of Christ. I asked you tonight, are there two gospels? Are there two different gospels? It's the gospel of God and the gospel of Christ. Are they different? I suggest to you tonight and say to you tonight quite confidently, it is not so. It's the same gospel. The gospel of God, the gospel of Christ, it's one. Here's why. Jesus Christ is God. Don't have to change anything. We find that, of course, in God's Word. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he asked those Pharisees, "What think ye of Christ? Well, whose son is he?" And they said, because they were brought up with this saying, he said, "Well, the son of David." The Lord asked him another question. In verse 43, Matthew 22, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool." If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? The Lord Jesus was writing this truth upon these hearts of these Pharisees, that he is Lord. And he shows it from the Psalms. Now David in spirit, David called the Lord Jesus Christ Lord. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, we know here that he is God. His deity is found in God's Word. Now, you find this to do with his names. We think there in Psalm 23, it says, "Well, the Lord is my shepherd." And yet, when you read the Bible in the New Testament, in John 10, verse 11, the Lord Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." Over in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 6 to 7, it says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One time a Jehovah's Witness came to my door. There's this real big strong man, I think he used to be in the army, and somebody else. And he came to my door and I said, "Can I ask you a question?" He says, "You can." I said, "Can you finish the following verse for me?" He says, "I will." And I says, "Well, here it is, Philippians. Every knee shall bow," and there's a few other things in the verse, "and in every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is." And I looked at him. And he wouldn't speak. And I said, "Hold on. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is." And the man stood, and he wouldn't speak. And I says, "Well, I'll finish the verse for you. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." And I says, "You're running around these homes and you're telling everybody around this community that he's not Lord. And one day you'll bow. And everybody's going to bow and confess he's Lord." You see, Jesus Christ is Lord. We find this, of course, in the Bible. He is God, yet he became man. The Bible shows us these things clearly. It talks in John 1, verse 10, he was in the world, listen, and the world was made by him. And we know when we come to the Bible, in Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Yet when I come to the Gospels, when I come to the New Testament, the Bible tells me that the Lord Jesus Christ, he made the world. How can he do this? Because he's Lord. He's Lord. He is God. Think about his attributes of eternity and omnipresence and everlasting. And all of these things show us and teach us that Jesus Christ is Lord, who became man. The Apostle Paul says, "Well, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because of the one who speaks about the one who is Lord, the one who is God, the one who is King, yet he came into this world as a man." Apostle Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of this. I'm not ashamed of this person. I'm ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend." We were singing that tonight. Apostle Paul says, "I'm not ashamed." He's not ashamed of this one, this gospel. It speaks of Christ, his deity, and about his death. You see, the great message of the gospel is about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. How this one who was sovereign, this one who was God, he came into this world willingly, into this world to die for our sins and to suffer in our place. That's a teaching of the Bible. It is, of course, the teaching of the words of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. Remember, he says in Matthew 20, verse 28, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's telling us why he came into this world. Listen, he came to die. to give his life, to offer his life, a sacrifice upon the cross. And I say to you tonight, read your Bible. Read the great prophecy of Isaiah, like Isaiah 53 and verse 5, telling us about the death of the Son of God. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The Bible tells us clearly the death of the Son of God. Why did he die? He died for our sins. Where did he die? He died upon Calvary. How he died? The wrath of his Father fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He made one sacrifice for sins forever, the Bible tells us, and he sat down on the right hand of God. You see, the Apostle Paul, he was not ashamed. He was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. When he thought about his love, when he thought about his coming into this world, and a sacrifice upon the cross and dying in agony and pain to put away his sin and our sin. He says, I'm not ashamed of this message. I'm not ashamed of this gospel. Oh, dear friend, he was not ashamed because of the theme. It's a gospel of Christ. I always say to God's people, and I hope you're never ashamed of Jesus. I say it. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes it's not always easy to stand up for Jesus. When you're surrounded with ungodly people, with ungodly language, sometimes it's not always easy. But as God gives us the grace and gives us the ability and gives us the opportunity, let us never be ashamed of Jesus. And to stand up for him. He was not ashamed of this tremendous message of the gospel because of the theme. It's the gospel of Christ. That's the message. People have changed the message today. You've heard about the prosperity gospel. Do this and give this and you'll be rich. And that'd be some message. I get up into a pulpit here tonight and said, if everybody here give me £50, you'll be a millionaire in a couple of months. Well, my pockets will be full going home. Isn't that right? But maybe not in Fermanagh. You have more sense down this part of the woods. Isn't that right? You'd be a fool to believe it. But that's the sort of message that people are proclaiming today. Do this and do that and give this and you'll prosper and you'll be rich. But of course you've got to give it on to them, people. You've got to place your seed of money in their hands. Listen, that's not the gospel. The gospel is of Christ, who he is and what he came to do. That's the message. This is the message the Apostle Paul preached with power. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Others may be ashamed. Others may deny him. Others may blaspheme this message. But I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed because of the theme of the gospel. It's about Jesus Christ. And that's why we preach Christ in our pulpits, in our gospel services, in our congregations. If we don't preach Christ, we have nothing else to preach. If you're unsaved tonight, you need to hear the gospel. You need to hear about the Son of God who loved us, who came into this world and died upon the cross. Shed his blood for rebels. Shed his blood for sinners. And shed his blood for you. You must hear this message. So the theme of the gospel, he's not ashamed of it. He was not ashamed because of the tremendous power of the gospel. Notice what he says. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Listen, four, why? It is the power of God unto salvation. He is saying here very clearly, and I want you to notice this, that the gospel is the almighty power of God. That word power is where we get the word dynamite from. And the Apostle Paul here is saying that the gospel is a dynamite of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. Oh, there's tremendous power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you follow that word power throughout the New Testament, you'll find it translated in different ways. In Matthew, for instance, 7, verse 22, it speaks about Christ who done many wonderful works. And the gospel does a wonderful work. In Matthew 11, verse 20, it talks about a mighty works. In Matthew 9, verse 39, it talks about a miracle. That's the same Greek word that's used. You see, the gospel is a wonderful work. It does a mighty work. Listen here tonight. It does a miracle. And the Apostle Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because he says here, well, it's the power of God unto salvation. There is a tremendous power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll show it to you in four ways. The salvation of a sinner. You see, the greatest need of any person in this meeting who's outside of Christ is to be saved. The Bible teaches us very clear that no matter about our background or who we are or what we do, all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. Man is lost without Christ. He's in a sin and lost and heading down towards hell for all eternity. The wages of sin is death. How can he be reached? How can a sinner be saved? The gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how he's reached. It's this message that reaches him, that God uses in order to save souls. We think of the text in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You can see here the Apostle Paul is saying that God saves by the foolishness of preaching. What preaching? What's the message? The gospel of Jesus Christ. When sinners hear about the Lord Jesus, they hear about their sin. They hear about his love, about his blood, about his power. You must repent. You must come to Jesus Christ. You must trust him and you'll be saved. That's how I was saved. A child of God, that's how you were saved. And no one's saved in this meeting. If you're ever going to be saved, it's by the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. I have proved it tonight. Others in this meeting have proved it. See, the salvation of a sinner, there's power in his message. It saves to the very uttermost. Think about not only the salvation of a sinner, but think about the liberation of a sinner. The Bible reveals that the unsaved are in the grasp of Satan and under his control. There are many verses in the Bible. You think of Paul writing there to the church at Ephesus in chapter 2 and verse 2. He's reminding the people how they used to walk. He's reminding them that once in a time in their life, they were under the control of the devil. Because he says in Ephesians 2 and verse 2, wherein in time past you walked. How did they walk? According to the course of this world, and according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Notice how they walked according to the devil. Under his control. The devil had them in his hand. He had them in his grasp. He says, go there, and they went. He says, do this, and they did this. They were under the control of the devil. How can a sinner ever be free? The gospel of Jesus Christ sets them free. And there's a verse in Luke 4, verse 18, about Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. And here's what he said. To preach deliverance to the captives. How's a sinner set free? How's the alcoholic set free? The drug addict, the gambler, the immoral person, the blasphemer. How is a person set free from their sin? It's by this message. The message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It sets people free. I hope we sing that great hymn. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. There's power in the blood. Listen, the power of the gospel. It sets people free. Listen, in this church tonight, there are men and women who were lost and held by sin, but something happened in our lives, changed us dramatically. We were set free. How was I set free? How was any child of God in this meeting tonight? How were you set free? By the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nothing else can set us free. How many people tried to reform themselves? How many people made promises, I'll give up this particular sin or that particular sin, only to find themselves going farther and farther into bondage? The gospel sets you free. Are you held tonight by a sin, someone in this meeting? Held in bondage, in chains, immorality, drunkenness, lies, cheating, drugs, whatever? Listen, Christ can set you free. It's the power of God unto salvation. And also this power is found not only in the liberation of a sinner, but in the transformation of the sinner. When the Bible teaches us that when a man or woman, despite their past and despite their sin, when they get saved, they're transformed. They are changed dramatically. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 tells us, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought, as we sing, since Jesus came into my heart. This is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. A transformation takes place in the life of the man or woman or boy and girl who comes to Jesus Christ. They are made a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. Something wonderful has happened to such a person. Listen, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. I got saved on the 19th of January, 1985. On the 18th was the night before it. I was drinking as usual in Market Hill. But I was under real conviction of sin. And I rose out of my bed on the 19th of January, and a fall of snow had taken place, 1985. And I fired the blankets back in my bed, and I said, Lord, I'm coming home. I went down the stairs, my mom met me. It was Saturday morning. And she says, yeah, went to a pub. For I used to rise early to go for more drink. I says, no. Didn't tell her where I was going. But I drove through the snow and up and knocked the door of a man. The Reverend Alec Chambers was a minister in Mullet Glass. And I knocked the door. And he says, could you show me how to be saved? And I tell you this, I walked into that door in my sin and in my shame. But when I walked out of it, I was a new man. I knew it. Same to look at, of course. But I knew I was changed. You see, the power in the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is a dynamite of God. I could go home to gather my family around and say, I've been converted, I've been saved. They maybe all thought I was mad in the head. And they watch me and they listen to me. And my friend says, I'll give you 1 week. That was 1985. So anybody who can count up to now will be able to tell me how many years that is. You see, the gospel has changed me. I'm still changed. It is the power of God unto salvation. If you're unsaved tonight, this is what you need. You need Christ to save you. He can set you free. He can change you tonight. And also the power is found in the destination of a sinner. The saints of God are going to heaven. You turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 to 11, you read about those who will not enter into heaven, the unrighteous, and he gives a list. And such were some of you, but you are washed. They were cleansed. They were changed. They were not going to heaven. But something happened in their whole heart and in their life. Now they're going to heaven. Why is this? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He changes our direction as well, doesn't he? I once was going to hell. Child of God, you once were going to hell. But now our feet is marching to Zion, the beautiful city of God, because of this message. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Listen, it is the power of God unto salvation. I'm not ashamed of this message. I trust none of God's people tonight is ashamed of it. Maybe there's some not saved, you're ashamed of Jesus. Oh, I trust tonight you'll trust him with all your heart. And you'll be set free. You'll be saved. You'll get liberation. You'll get your feet changed to direct it towards heaven. You'll be transformed from within. He'll make you a new creature tonight. He'll change your whole life. He'll cleanse you from all of your sin if you come and trust him. The gospel, it is the power of God unto salvation. Apostle Paul was not ashamed of this message, because of the theme, because of the tremendous power of the gospel. Can I say this before we move on? The Lord can save you. I don't have to know about your sin tonight. I don't know how many sins, how bad your sins are. But Christ can save you. He can save you. His blood can wash you and make you whiter than the snow. The power of the gospel. He was not ashamed of the terms of the gospel. What were these terms? Well, to everyone which believeth. What's Apostle Paul saying here? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I tell you tonight, these are the terms of the gospel message. And these terms are very, very simple. Believeth. He that believeth. We were singing that tonight. The word believeth means to have faith. And is translated in God's word as the word faith in Titus 1 verse 13. Salvation is not found in services. You can come to all the services of this church. You can go through rituals of some other church. But salvation is not found in those things. Salvation is not found in supplications and in prayers. How many people pray and say prayers? We were in Israel last week, and the Jews were standing at the Wailing Wall, and they're nodding their heads, and the way they're going, rocking about. Listen. It's he that believeth. It's he that believeth. They can say all the prayers they want. It doesn't matter whether you're a Catholic, a Jew, a Muslim, or a Protestant. You can say all the prayers you want. It doesn't save you. That's not the terms. It's not in money. It's not in your sacrifices. No, salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, who has faith. In verse 17, it says the just shall live, what? By faith. The great text of the Reformation of Martin Luther. Believe on Jesus Christ. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you'll be saved, and you have everlasting life. You don't have to pay any money. You don't have to do any works. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. Well, boys, I'm not ashamed of that message to you. I'm glad I'm not ashamed of this message. It's he that believeth. As I said to you, trust the Lord Jesus. Not just believing about him, but believing on him. These terms are simple, and these terms are suitable. It says, he that believeth, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth. It doesn't matter who a person is. It doesn't matter where they are from. It doesn't matter what they have done. The vilest offender, if they believe, they will be saved. The terms are all the same for everybody all over the world. He that believeth. Another skill in tonight. If you believe, you'll be saved. It's he that believeth. These are terms. I'm glad of this message. This is the gospel message. The work has all been done. The price has been paid for by Jesus Christ upon the cross. We just are to trust him. So, he's not ashamed of the terms. It's he that believeth. I look around the world today, and I see people working for salvation. Dark and Roman Catholics, if you put them on the matter about getting to heaven, and you ask them, how can you and I get to heaven? They immediately say, well, it's what we do. Do the best you can. Say your prayers or help people. But that is not the way. It's he that believeth. He who comes to Jesus Christ and trusts him has everlasting life. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Unsaved tonight in this meeting, don't close yourself out. To everyone that believeth, trust him. Turn with all your heart to Jesus Christ tonight, and he will save you. We're not ashamed of this message. Can I say, he's not ashamed, lastly, about the territory of the gospel. He says to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Of course, you'll find that's how it worked. They went out and preached to the Jews, and then, of course, they went to the Gentiles. As the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 13, verse 46, Paul says, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. So this message is for all the world. For all the world. I'm glad this is a message we can preach, no matter where we are. I've had the opportunity, by God's grace, of being in different parts of the world. I've been in Australia, Singapore, Philippines, and America, Kenya, different places. But I say this, in the preaching of the gospel, I've never had a change. Never had a change of message. No matter where I went, you maybe needed somebody to interpret it, or lingo from Northern Ireland. That can happen. But listen, it didn't matter where I was. The same message. No matter where it is. Jesus Christ said, the Lord Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the duty. That is the commission given to the church, to preach the gospel. This message. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I don't want you to be ashamed of it. In your workplace, at home, your neighborhood, in school, a university, young Christian. Don't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus. Stand up for Jesus, you soldiers of the cross. We're not ashamed of this message. It's a message that has saved us, transformed us, and bringing us to heaven. It's your only hope tonight. Repent, listen, and believe the gospel. Come and trust him tonight. If you're unsaved, you know you're lost, you know that Christ died, and he can save you. If I can help you in any shape or form, then come and speak to us. Speak to your elders, your deacons, your friend tonight. And don't go home without putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. The gospel can set you free. And Christ can save you. Trust him. Trust him with all your heart tonight. And he will save you.